The title of today's message is Identifying the Demons That Have Been Assigned to You. Identifying the demons. Let me just kind of lay a real brief foundation. The person in history that has had the most books written about them is Jesus. I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about books of history. There has not been one person in the history of this world that has been written about more than Jesus. His existence was so significant that when he died and when he was born was so significant that they decided to start counting years of the earth. Then, we all know that this world is older than 2,025 years. We all know that. But why do we say in the year 2025? Well, it's BC and AD, before Christ, after death. They said, this is so significant, we're going to start counting right now. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God that hung on the cross. This is why we celebrate Easter. We just didn't look at a bunny and say, you know what, that's cool. This is what Jesus rose again out of the grave. And so I just want to say, this is who we're serving. He loves you so much that he's paying attention to you when you're not even paying attention to him. He's a good God. But you don't know what good is unless there's something bad. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. There's something evil, and this is Satan. I've said this before. If there's someone you love who has passed away, and you know that they're in heaven, if they could come back just for a second, they would say this: I don't want to come back. And then secondly, they would say, heaven is real and hell is real. This is the reality. But Satan has demons, millions of demons, and many of these demons have been assigned to you. There are some demons, there are some evil spirits that we all fight. For example, having faith that God will come through for us and take care of us. That's a battle of faith that we all fight. But then there are some demons that are assigned to you, but not the person next to you. For example, there are families that I've talked to where the father dies young, like in his 50s, the son dies in his 50s, the grandfather dies in his 50s, the great-grandfather dies in his 50s. This is a demonic spirit that comes down through these generations. Oftentimes, somebody who commits suicide, there's somebody else in their family who's committed suicide. These are demons that attack. Somebody who has an addiction, they have an addiction to a substance, typically their father or their mother or their uncle. There's other people. See, in my family, we don't have that. We fight different battles. But it is extremely important that you know what spirits have been assigned to you. Because then when they come, you can back up and go, hey, I know what's happening right now. And so I want to give you I've got three major points. First point is how to identify these evil spirits. And number two, I want to talk about the cost required for victory. Just because you know there's a demon there and just because you believe in Jesus, that doesn't mean that you're going to be victorious over this spirit. I know a lot of people who are Christians and they've been fighting the same battle for 20 years. There's a cost to victory. And then number three, my last and final point. What is my last and final point? Oh, talking back to the devil. If he's going to talk to you, you need to talk to him. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you got a fat head, what are you going to be like? No, you're going to say something back. Something. Something. Hopefully it's not equal to that. You don't want to look at their face and say, hey, if you're going to look at my face, I'm going to look at your face. You know, you want to say something back. And when you spend time with the Lord, you're like, I'm not going to match unkindness with unkindness. You're not going to suck me into that. But the reality is you got to know how to talk back to the devil. But I'll get to that. That's my third point. Let me talk about identifying demons. Now, there's so many different evil spirits, but I want to put the most popular ones into four different categories. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Come on, let me hear you say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Take a look at this. Where do demons attack you? The first category is faith and passion. Faith is believing that God is there and that he rewards people who seek him. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Believing in God, trusting in God, or spiritual apathy. When I was putting these notes together, I was looking for indifference, spiritual indifference, but I couldn't think of indifference, but I thought about it while I was speaking in the first service. Indifference or apathy means that you can take it or leave it. I believe in God, but like I'm not super passionate about it. Like I believe in him, but it's apathy. God, your spirit craves God, but there's a spirit that's opposite that comes into your life and causes this apathy. You can take it or leave it. It's apathy. It's a spirit. Some of you are looking at that list and you're like, oh, okay. You're getting fast. Slow it down just a second. All right. Emotional pain, loneliness, shame, anger, depression, insecurity. You don't wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I feel like having some shame. I'm going to be depressed all day today. You know what? Here's the deal. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to get so angry that I'm not even going to be able to control it. Nobody thinks like that. These are spirits that come to you. Now, to get angry, that's called being human. To remain angry, now we're talking about a spirit. Are you with me? Say yes. All right, let me go on to the third category. There we go. Now we're in cadence. Physical temptations. Overeating. It's called gluttony in the Bible. Substance abuse. Sexual immorality. When you start drifting into that, I just want you to know that there's a demon around you. It's very interesting, sexual immorality, because before you get married, the demon says, hey, that's fine, but, you know, get sexual. But then after you get married, it's almost like he wants the opposite. He doesn't want you close. You with me?
Yeah.
All the men are like, yeah, that's good stuff right there. Here's the next one. Twisting God's word. All the women are like, yes, let's go. That's not, you know, you men. Okay. I just got all tangled up. Biblical worldview blended with a secular worldview. What does that mean? That means you believe in the Bible, but you also believe in your own theology. Like, yeah, I believe in it, but I also believe. And so when you come across something in the scripture that you don't like, then you back up and say, well, I just believe. And so you have your own theology. Now, this is a big, big problem. Because if you don't believe the entire Bible, you have to ask yourself, are you really a Christian or are you just kind of picking? It's your theology and God's theology. A worldview is when you trump Bible with what you believe. But watch this. This is a major, major problem. Take a look at this statistic. According to the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, I talked about this last week, but just in case some of you weren't here, only 6% of Christians have a biblical worldview, with many embracing a blend of various belief systems. Let's go to the next one. Similarly, research by the Barna Group found that approximately 9% of born-again Christians possess a biblical worldview. 9%, that means 92% of Christians, they believe in God, but they also believe in what they think. 92%. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Don't stop coming to church. Yeah, well. Yeah, well, don't. Anger gives a foothold to the enemy. Don't remain angry. It's in Ephesians 4:26. Don't stay angry. Yeah, well, they're an idiot. Oh, that's why I'm going to remain angry. You know, it's this addiction. Well, I love the Lord, but I can stay addicted. You know, it's your own theology. In 92%, 92% of the people believe that. Nobody in this room, of course. But 92%, you line up 10 Christians, 9 of them have their own theology. One of them says everything in the Bible is real and that's how I live my life. One. Oh my goodness. Well, most of you have 10 people on your row. Why don't you pick out the 9 then? But so this is how the enemy gets us. Is he draws us, he compels us towards these things. These evil spirits. You know, when I go fishing, if I go fishing for 4 hours, I feel like I did really good if I catch 2. Okay. Now, I got a guy in our neighborhood. He used to invite us over for catfish for dinner all the time. Our family stopped going on our own accord. This was about the time we stopped going. Is we were there one time, and I asked him, like, how do you catch this many catfish in such a short amount of time? Because he'll text me or call me in the morning, he used to, and say, hey, you want to come over for catfish? I say, yes. He goes, okay, I'm going to go fishing right now. I have a family of 5. He's got stacks of fried catfish. And I'm like, how in the world do you have this much catfish? And, of course, guys, well, you know, you just got to know how to fish, brother. His wife comes in and tells the truth. Now, don't listen to him. He just throws chum on the water. And I'm like, chum? What's chum? I don't know what chum is. How many people know what chum is? All right. The rest of us are about to puke. Chum is when you take a bucket that's half full of blood, fish guts, chopped up fish, and then you go out on a little canoe and you dump it into the water, and all these catfish come up and start chewing on the chum, and then you take your hook and you drop it into the chum. And the fish grabs the hook and you pull the fish into the boat. Now, these fish could be way far away. As soon as they smell the chum, as soon as they smell the blood, they come running over. And so when I found that out, that was the last time we've been to his house to eat catfish. The last time. Now, what's happening is this evil stuff. I'm going to call it evil, not disgusting, because when you're chasing blood, that's evil. When this hits the water, the fish come. And what the enemy does is he comes in and he begins to stir evil in your life. And what he does is he tries to make it feel normal. That sin is normal. Not living for the Lord is normal. People learn to live without God. They learn. They get comfortable. And so what ends up happening is the enemy will come into your life and he will just throw the chum. And so the next time, go ahead and put that list, the whole list, all four things. The next time that these things begin to come to your mind, you got to go, no, 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 you're throwing chum in the water. You're trying to mess up my mind, play with my mind, mess with my emotions. My daughter goes to Texas A&M. She called me and she says, one of my close friends up here is crying because she's suicidal. I'm like, that person doesn't want to kill themselves. God does not want them to die. So where is this coming from? There's chum in the water. Are you with me? Say yes. When these things pop up, there's chum in the water. There is a spirit around you tormenting you. You got to know, I was fine 10 minutes ago. What spirit just walked up on me? Are you with me? Say yes. Okay, so now let's talk about point number two. You don't want to live that way. You don't want spirits tormenting your family, tormenting your marriage, tormenting your children, tormenting your finances. Have you ever saved as much as you can, but it feels like there's a hole in your purse and it's just falling out of your purse? It's like you can't hang on to it. These are spirits of poverty that's coming towards you. Now, sometimes you just got to go get a J-O-B, but I will say this, not everything is a demonic spirit, but there's more of them tormenting you than what you realize. Are you with me? Say yes. There's a cost. There's two things, two main areas where you got to be willing to pay the cost. In Luke chapter 14, verse 24, it says this, it's Luke 14, 28. It says this, Jesus says, hey, count the cost. Before you decide to be a Christian, before you say, Lord, you are my Savior, I'm going to live for you. Before you do that, count the cost. It's real easy to come and just say, you know what, I believe in Jesus. Hold on. Make sure you understand what you're saying here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but allow the Holy Spirit to transform you into a new creation. That means you talk different, you dress different, you worship the Lord. You tell yourself, I don't think that the Lord's going to be pleased with this, so I'm not going to do it. Hold on, let me think. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 31, where it says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. If it's not 1 Thessalonians 5:31, that means it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. But it says, do not grieve, which means the Holy Spirit, it's like, oh, the presence of God is, oh. And so before you jump in, think about the decision that you're making here. You're laying your life down. You're choosing to worship Him and live for Him. Make sure you understand, because if you're not doing that, get used to the chum. Get used to it, because you won't win. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Aren't you glad? But don't worry about it. I'm really not talking to you. I'm talking to the person next to you. So there you know. There's this submission involved. Imagine just for a second, my wife says, hey, honey, will you take care of the dinner tonight? And I say back to her, is this a matter of divorce? Hey, can you take care of the laundry tonight? Okay. Is this a matter of divorce? Hey, hon, do you mind, like, vacuuming? Well, are you going to divorce me if I don't vacuum? And see, this is how most people live their life, is they think to themselves, okay, I know that I'm copying the behavior and the customs of this world. I'm not worshiping the Lord. I'm not longing for the Lord. But are you really going to send me to hell over this? Like, really? And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, if you continue to sin flagrantly, in other words, God, I don't really care what's in the Bible. What I believe is that you are a loving God, and it really doesn't matter. And the Bible says this, if you continue to sin flagrantly, then the sacrifice from the cross no longer applies to you. All right, so there's a percentage of this room that just decided you're never coming back to this church. But let me say this. In 1 John 1:9, and this happens every day for me, says, if you confess with your mouth your sins, immediately he forgives you. And I stumble multiple times a day where I have to look at the Lord and say, I know you didn't like that. I know that grieved you, and I'm really sorry, and I need you to help me not do it again. See, mercy forgives you, and grace gives you the strength to not do it again. Now, there are some things that it just battles me over and over and over and over and over again, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me for that like 792 times. But it's still going to the Lord and saying, I've laid my life down for you. I'm kind of struggling in this area. And the Lord is like, I see you. I see you. And I love you. Never forget this. There's a difference between being evil and being weak. And sometimes we're just weak. That's the first area. We're going to count the cost. You really got to say, I'm all in on this. I'm not going to just kind of sometimes end that. I'm really, really, really all in. I'm all in on this. And then number two, and under counting the cost, is that you stoke the fire. See, when you're in this room, you can feel your spirit going, I think this is right. I believe this is right. It's right. That's the fire of the Lord kind of stirring up within you. The Bible says in John 6:44 that no man comes to Jesus unless drawn by the Son. If you have a desire to know more, want more, that's not by accident. The Lord is drawing you to himself. Some of you are only here because your wife made you come. And that's okay, but you're a grown man. You could have went, not coming. The Lord drew you here. He drew you here. He drew you here. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:6, to stir, to fan the flame, to do something purposefully so it doesn't go out. Like, I've got to play worship music in my car. I've got to turn my car into a moving church. I've got to say, Alexis, play worship music. Like, I got to do that. I got to say, hey, Siri, play worship music. I got to get that in. I got to keep that going. I got to walk through the day and just, I love you. I want you to know I love you. I love you. I want you to, you know the prayer that I pray most? I love you. You know I need you. I love you. You know I need you. I probably pray that same prayer right there all day long. I love you. You know I need you. But you got to keep that flame going. It snowed. Did anyone get to play in the snow? You know why it snowed here in Southeast Texas and not North Texas? The Lord loves us more. Somebody needs to tell you that. And around 11 o'clock at night when it was snowing the most, I'm in bed, Allie's in bed. We sleep with blinders on and we play brown noise. I'm cuddled all up. She's cuddled all up. It's so warm. And my arm is out. I can't sleep unless my arm is out. Anyone else like that? All right. Three of us. Awesome. So, we're just about to fall asleep. And here comes my 17-year-old son. Opens the door. I just started a fire in the backyard. You guys want to come? They're clapping for you. I don't know why. We got a fireplace out there, a brick fireplace. And my first thought was, where was this fire around 6 o'clock? And so I'm like, hey, it snows like this once every 30 years, you know. Yeah. We do want to get out of bed. So we go out there. We're sitting around. And I'm like, I'm so happy that my clothes are going to smell like smoke. And I got to go take a shower when I get out of here. This is awesome. He sneaks up behind me. I'm like, this is so great. With a snowball pings me. Pew. Isn't this awesome? No, my bed was awesome. That's what was awesome. So we're all done, and we're walking back into the house, and Allie goes, should we throw water on the fire or something like that? Sit like in this fireplace area. And now keep in mind, Luke built a fire. It was so high. Some of y'all saw it. And both Luke and I said it at the same time. We said it at the same time. We were like, no, just leave it alone. It'll put itself out. By tomorrow morning, it'll be gone. Next morning, you wake up, it was gone. It'll put itself out. We're not going to throw any more logs on it. Some of you are ahead of me. We're not going to, just don't pay attention to it, and it'll go out. Let me just tell you, the passion and longing that you have for the Lord, if you're not intentional, purposefully, intentionally, about keeping this going, this fire inside of you, it will go out. And you will look back on yourself and you will think, man, I can't believe I was so passionate about God. Man, I've kind of calmed down. Now I'm a little bit more normal. No. You're not normal. You're swimming in the chum. I know you don't feel like waking up this morning to come to church. I hit snooze. Beep, 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 a lot this morning. I know. Why'd you come? You got to stoke the fire. Why do you play worship music? You stoke the fire. Why are you praying? You're stoking the fire. Why are you saying, Lord, I need you? You're stoking the fire. You're stoking the fire. You're stoking the fire. And what ends up happening, point number three, is that, and then you learn how to talk back to the devil. and you begin to say, even if your faith is really low, when you start feeling the chum come in your life, and you're starting to have all these emotions and all these thoughts, you begin to think to yourself, I can't fight this by myself. My son is in trouble and I can't rescue him. My finances are in trouble. I'm physically sick. Did you know God heals people physically just like Jesus did a long time ago? I've prayed for 3 people who had blind eyes. Bang, bang, bang. 3. I can't even count. You think I'm lying? I promise you. I can't even count. Or I've whispered in a deaf ear, Jesus, bang. I'm just telling you that miracles still happen. But every single time a miracle happens, a true miracle happens, the name of Jesus was a part of that. And so you got to say, wait a minute. I'm thinking this, I'm feeling this. You've been assigned to me my whole life. Guess what? In the name of Jesus, leave me. 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 In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, leave me, leave me, leave me, leave me. In the name of Jesus, leave me, leave me, leave me. Leave me, leave me, leave me. Leave me alone. 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 Would you stand up on your feet, if you would? I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down, if you would. All of our prayer partners come down. I know we have more than one. There are times in life where your faith is so thin, it's like paper. You're trying your best to believe in the Lord. And I want to say this. When you're trying to believe, you have faith. When you're looking up, you have faith. You say, I don't have much. You don't need much. If you're looking up, sometimes you'll have a whole bunch of faith. Sometimes you won't have a whole bunch of faith, but just a little bit of faith is enough. It's like just a little bit of gasoline and a little match does a lot. But sometimes your faith is so low, you need somebody else to pray for you. The problem is so big, your faith is struggling. You need someone else to pray for you. And that's why these prayer partners are down here. They want to pray for you. Now, if all the prayer partners are taken up, just come to the bottom of the aisle. We've got great ushers down here that'll point you to the first available person. But we didn't come to church today so that we could sing a few songs or listen to me speak. You came to church because you love the Lord. You're curious on what the Lord can do in your life. That's why you came. And so now this is the action part where if you want someone to pray for you, we're down here to pray for you. Now, some of you in this room, if your heart were to just stop beating like it did for Joe, if it were to just stop beating, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. You really don't know. And for that reason, you're the most important person in the room. Because your heart is like throwing a basketball in the air. If I had a basketball and I throw it in the air, it's going to come down, it's going to bounce, 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 bounce. Eventually, it's going to stop bouncing and it's just going to rest on the floor. I just don't know when the last bounce is going to happen. Your heart, you don't know when the last beat is going to happen, but I can promise you this, somebody in the world your age died yesterday. If you don't know, where are you going to spend eternity? I want you to come down here and just say, I need to get my life right with God. And the Bible says if you're ashamed of him in front of people, he'll be ashamed of you when he sees you. And so I want to invite you to come down and pray with somebody. If you just need someone to pray with, you can come down. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's just sing this song at least one or two times through before anyone goes. If I have the pleasure of meeting you because we've never met, I'm not going back to that room. It's the room on the left, by the way, just behind the cafe. I'll be back there in about 5 or 10 minutes. But in the meantime, let's just worship. Let's sing this song at least one or two times through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the peace of God be with you all the days of your life, with your family, and wherever you go, all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.